a three-way battle between the Turtles and Neutrinos, Bebop, Rocksteady, and Shredder, and the Cyberpunks. Should we stop them? No. Let them fight. On this week's episode of Deuteronomy, I'm Dan.
And I'm Brian.
And that was a bit made off of a single scene in the beginning of this episode, but you're going to have to deal with it.
That was butter. We're looking at season 2, episode 9 today, Teenagers from Dimension X, not to be confused with Hot Rodding Teenagers from Dimension X, because naming conventions.
They lost one hot rod, so now it's out of the title.
That's true. Oh shit, there is a canonical reason you called it. Today's episode is written by Michael Raves, which I actually thought this was interesting. He's pretty prolific sci-fi fantasy writer. He's contributed a bunch to Star Wars, but he's written for Ninja Turtles, The Real Ghostbusters, Gargoyles, He-Man, Droids, amongst a myriad of other things. But most importantly, he's a credited writer on Batman the Animated Series, most notably The Mask of the Phantasm.
Ooh, nice.
So this guy's got some clout to his name, and I'm excited to see what he's got for us.
There's a lot of different stuff in this episode.
There are some interesting storytelling techniques, and we'll get to those eventually. Actually, we'll get to those right now. The episode opens on an all-out attack. A giant kaiju that resembles a bipedal turtle with sharp teeth is attacking the city. Have you ever noticed that when like a monster in a cartoon series has like sharp, pointy triangle teeth, when they close their mouth, they just become rectangle teeth again?
No, I have not noticed that. I guess they...
That is an animation trope.
Is it because they all like layer each other?
It's because the animators got lazy.
The teeth are offset, and so they close next to each other, making a rectangle.
But then wouldn't it make a zigzag?
You should see a zigzag, yeah.
It should be a zigzag, but he closes his teeth, and he's got the square cube kind of ruler lines going in his mouth. Just one of those things that we don't think about ever, but that's why podcasts exist, so millennials can pick apart stupid shit that don't matter.
Yep, it's just to be hyper-specific.
And we forgot to mention that this entire attack is being broadcast in black and white. Oh, spoilers, we pull back, and it's the four boys watching a Godzilla-esque creature feature on a TV that's mounted on the wall in the sewer lair, like in a hospital?
Yeah, or like their gym or something.
Yeah, it's just like on an armature coming off the bricks.
I did really enjoy that the name of the movie is Space Turtle of New Tokyo.
I thought it was Space Turtle that Ate Tokyo.
Oh, man, that's even better.
Yeah, because Don points that out after the camera pulls back. And by the way, they're all cheering for the movie.
Well, it's like in the 1990 movie when they're rooting on the turtle to beat the rabbit.
Ninja kick the damn rabbit!
Yeah, but they're cheering at it like they're in a movie theater and you want them to leave.
They're all just standing randomly in whatever weird sewer room this is, cheering at the television.
Yeah. But yeah, Donnie points out that it's the space turtle that ate Tokyo. And then I love this quote from Mikey.
They sure don't make love stories the way they used to.
My notes just say audible snort. So in the most teenage move yet amongst these characters, Raph starts trying to get Mikey to talk about his romance with Kala, the neutrino.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Mikey vehemently denies this. And this all in spite of the fact that he is, in fact, holding a photograph of Kala. Mind you, this is not wallet-sized, nor did he pull it from a pocket. It's a full 9x11 glossy print in mint condition.
He's just been holding.
This brings up two very important questions. When did Mikey take this? Or does Dimension X have codec?
Because it's like an autographed photo.
Yeah, it's full size. This isn't like a sneaky little candid thing. He's got this on a full sheet of paper printout.
I just like that, like, even this early, in my notes, I just have, like, see, the Turtles have pretty much always had romance.
They really do, like, which is weird, and I don't love it. It is not my favorite part of Turtle mythos, but I will accept it in this case because it works with the plot.
Fair.
We cut to Kala, Dask, and Zack, the neutrinos. They're cruising around Dimension X in a hot rod, the same red hot rod from Hot Rod and Teenagers from Dimension X. They spot the Technodrome, and I quote, "Let's buzz it!" which is exactly what a teenager would do.
It's like, it's so funny just that they're like cruising around in this red cloud world.
That they're just on a joyride in what looks like the definitive hellscape. Like, if they round the corner, like, if they round the wrong corner, they're just going to find Pinhead there.
Right, yeah. There's no land. There's no physical features of any kind. It's just red sky, clouds, Technodrome. And they're just cruising.
I think they'll call that the ether. Kala, mind you, also has a full page printout of Mikey's face. In a very, very unflattering photo. Am I off base with stating that?
Oh, I'm trying to find it. Give me a second.
2 minutes and 31 seconds. Mikey looks confused that there's a camera in the room.
Yeah. Well, oh my God. Yeah. He just looks. That's like a mugshot.
Yeah. Right. So the neutrinos drive their car into an open gaping hole in the side of the Technodrome. Apparently they just left the airlock open or something.
Yeah, not the one that the turtles blew up in it in like the first episode, mind you.
No, that's been repaired.
Yeah, it's just an open door.
And in the process of infiltrating the Technodrome, they apparently stumble upon a communication between Krang and Shredder by parking inside and hitting a button by accident.
Yeah, they just pick it up, you know, like you do.
Yeah.
You're going cross state lines and your AM radio picks up a different station.
Breaker, breaker. Krang is informing Shredder of his latest death ray, and it's ready for him. It's called the Mento Neutralizer. And
I just thought it was Mental Neutralizer.
No, I think it's Mento, like Mentos.
The Fresh Maker.
Beautiful.
That's on its way to Earth in the next 60 seconds. And okay. So this occupied, I'm not even kidding, this occupied most of my scripting for this show, is doing the research for this part. Okay, just give me a sec here. Krang says to make sure to only operate the device on a precise frequency of 10 trillion megahertz.
Yep.
Okay. 10 trillion megahertz. One, that's immeasurable under current standards. Two, technically it exists in the quetahertz range, which is, and I quote, units of inverse time, according to particle physics. Okay, in particle physics, there exists what's known as the Planck unit, which is a unit of measurement set by physical constants in reality, such as gravity, the speed of light in a vacuum, as well as a reduced Planck constant and the Boltzmann constant, which are a whole different thing that is a conversation in itself. Basically, the amount of energy versus space-time that a given object occupies. This is quantum physics 101. So basically what Krang is saying, that to run this machine that he's given to Shredder, you need to rewrite the density of reality. I'm going to give you a second to digest that.
See, this is why you all come to our podcast. You come for the turtles, but you stay for the quantum physics.
Conveniently, this is also the exact frequency that the neutrino car runs on.
Jeepers creepers! What a weird coincidence!
What a great line.
Shredder, Bebop, and Rocksteady are waiting in an abandoned carnival like the Joker for this device. I know, and I'm really disappointed that we don't have a clip of Bebop and Rocksteady referring to Shredder as Puddin'.
Update.
Krang and Shredder's new plan is to zombify the turtles and put them into a Dimension X zoo.
Sure.
That's what this device does, in case anyone is wondering.
Would they even be that interesting to people in Dimension X?
I mean, definitely not if they're, like, vegetables, if this thing brain drains them and they just turn into zombies. But they want to humiliate them. That's the important part, because yeah. Shredder is a sadist.
They no longer want to defeat them. They want to humiliate them.
Yeah. Which works in a kid show.
Sure. Yeah.
I love that Krang, being like a coagulated bottle of Pepto-Bismol, is calling the turtles freaks in this instance.
Well, you know, from his perspective.
Look in a mirror, buddy.
He's normal in Dimension X.
No, he's not. In Dimension X, he's supposed to look like a sentient, like, alligator thing. We keep teasing this. It's in season 7 or 8 in the Red Sky era when they kind of reformat the show. We meet the Krangoids, which is his species' original name.
Well, I do I do not remember that, so that's going to be a fun discovery for me.
It's so interesting to me, just to get off on a tangent for a sec, that you don't recall this, because that is one of those things, the only things that I recall from the later season. It's like, holy shit, we went into the lore.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that I just, like, wasn't even watching it that much by that point in time. Like, I don't remember much about the last season.
No, honestly, me neither. I only know this through, like, retroactive research, mostly. So the neutrinos, okay, the neutrinos say all right instead of all right when they confirm something.
All right, let's beat fate.
I've never really noticed this before. I always just, when I watched this when I was younger, I thought they were just messing with their language and accents and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just like kids do sometimes. But this is more like, you know, in Battlestar Galactica when they say frack. Where they kind of rewrite the word a little bit. Or like even in Back to the Future, kind of when Marty says heavy. And it's like an unnecessary slang term. I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool. And like that's a confirmation in the captions again. Because if you just listen to it, it just kind of sounds like they're slurring the words a little bit. But yeah, they say all reet.
So this is a perfect moment for me to step in here with my own subtitles, my own captions thing here. If y'all are wondering why it is, it seems like this episode I was not able to, or I was coming up with different words than what Brian was, is because the captions don't work for me anymore. The last two episodes, the captions in the Google Play version have been for different episodes.
Oh, the files are matched wrong.
Yeah. So like if I turn on the English subtitles in Google Play and I start, the episode that I get subtitles for this episode is the Splinter No More episode.
So you're one behind. That's interesting.
Yeah.
My copies on Vudu, for what they're worth, are pristine. So there's your ad for the week.
Contact us.
Sponsor this show. Please don't. finally, security shows up and it's just one foot soldier and he's not even supposed to be here today.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
The neutrinos retreat and make for Earth to try to help the turtles, but Shredder knows they're on the way.
You know what I love about this scene about the neutrinos getting away?
What's that?
Well, really, it's two things. One, there's this really great shot at, it's at 421? No, 419, where Krang is turning around inside his body to see what's happening behind him. And it's like, dude, that you can't see shit. There's no way that was helpful.
I completely missed that. I must have been like jotting down notes. He spins in his little microwave in the belly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's he's like you imagine you heard something happening behind you. And so you turn your head to get as much in your peripheral vision as you could. And then imagine your head is in a robot tummy.
It might be the actual dumbest thing that's happened in this show. And that's saying a lot.
And then the second thing is that the neutrinos, when we first met them, got to Earth by traveling through a dimensional portal that was in the Technodrome. I will fully admit that in this particular moment, I do not remember how they got home. It was in the Technodrome, right?
Yeah, Donnie opened the portal.
Okay, right. In this episode, their car can make their own dimensional portals.
Yeah, apparently they went to the garage in between here.
I mean, totally fair. They could have changed their car in the meantime. It's just really funny that they don't mention that, you know? They just be like, well, good thing that we could do our own. And they do. They go try and save the turtles.
The only thing I'll say to defend this is, in lieu of their 1950s-esque hot rod and attitude, it's fairly likely that they have some sort of equivalent to, I don't know, dressing up the car in a garage. So I imagine they roll out updates on their sweet rides.
Oh, yeah.
Time and time again. That's their pride and joy.
Definitely. Got a hot rod in Dimension X Chop Shop.
Oh, man, there's a spinoff series. All right, so the neutrinos are finally on Earth. They can't find the turtles, but they haven't tried the sewer even
a little bit.
Kala says,
maybe we can make the turtles find us.
And Zach says, how? Well, I don't know, by being a fucking flying car with aliens in it hovering over Midtown? That ought to do the trick.
And it does. But I just want to pause this here for 1 second, because your impression raises a very important thought experiment. And that is, you're Mikey. You hypothetically start dating Calla, or you're literally anybody and you start dating a neutrino. How long until you can no longer bear their voices?
About 30 seconds. I'll give her a fair shot. She's cute, but like, no.
Like, the voice acting is great, don't get me wrong. But just within the world, having to listen to that over and over again, I feel like you'd be like, all right, go back to Dimension X for a bit.
It sounded like somebody in the director's booth said, all right, sound like chipmunks, but we're not going to use the digital processing to make you sound like chipmunks. All right, so the neutrinos are on their way to Channel 6 to get the news to give them attention, to get the turtles to give them attention.
Yep.
Pretty straightforward, you know, line of logic there. And the crew at Channel 6, to their credit, snaps right into action, starts getting footage. And then when April's trying to sneak off, Burn shows up and he's pissed that she's not contributing to the report. But she says she's got to go powder her nose. And I remind all of us that this was 1988 and that had a very different meaning. April then phones up the turtles.
I don't think that's what she meant. She mentions her adoring public.
Her adoring public was doing powder too, Dan. I hate to tell you this. April phones up the turtles and they are en route via the blimp. And all right, here's another one of those like weird things. I never realized how much they use the blimp. Like, I remember the blimp being a special feature kind of thing that only came in mega battles, but like, they take the blimp more than they take the van now.
Okay, I just have to rewind, because yes, we are going to talk about the blimp. I agree with you. They are taking the blimp like way more often than I remember. But when April calls them, they are not on the blimp. She interrupts them just standing around, all polishing their weapons.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice little touch.
Has to be an innuendo.
Oh, I wasn't going to go there, but God damn it.
Come on.
You're not wrong. God damn it. I didn't know. I thought I was supposed to be the vulgar one on this show.
I gotta surprise you every now and then.
Jesus. Yeah, it's not an accident. God damn it.
I mean, come on. She goes off into a closet and calls them, and it just cuts to them, like, just hanging out in their weird room with the TV on the wall, and they are all simultaneously in a circle polishing their weapons. God damn you.
Donatello has a wooden weapon.
You know, you always chose him in the NES game because he had the reach.
But does he need the polish?
Like he's got pledge on his or something. Anyway, back to the blimp.
Hey, they're blimping. Oh, God.
You're welcome.
The neutrino plan has completely backfired at this point, though, because Shredder got the broadcast as well, because that's how fucking television works, you children. The neutrinos and the turtles meet up in the sky, and then we got two back-to-back animation errors. So Leo's voice comes out of Raph for a second there.
Yep.
It's a close-up. It's very obvious. It's forgivable. But then the one that really got me was that the blimp colors invert at about 6:30.
Oh, shit. I missed that.
Yeah. So like the blimp is usually kind of like that beige color with the turtle logo green. The whole blimp's green and everything else is yellow.
Oh, yeah. Weird. How did I miss that? It's like the major thing in the frame.
It doesn't look wrong. Like if the turtles had just colored the blimp that way originally, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But just seeing the blimp on screen so much recently made me go, oh.
Isn't the toy that color, though?
The toy is green.
That's so funny.
The toy colors do not match the show colors at all. Except, I think they did do a reissue later on, like a fourth generation or something like that, that looked a little closer.
I wonder if like Playmates had that image as their basis, and that's why they colored it the way they did.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that for a second.
That's so funny. I just want to point out, like, this is a thing that we're going to see a couple times in this episode, but, like, Shredder, Bebop, and Rocksteady are, like, actually pretty efficient.
Yeah, they do some damage in this one, because, like, next up, a single laser blast shoots the neutrinos out of the sky.
And they get, like, they just walk over and capture them, too. So, like, it's, like, we get to see Bebop, Rocksteady, and Shredder being, like, actually dangerous in this episode.
Actually threatening, yeah. The car comes down, bashes into the street, and then, yeah, Bebop and Rocksteady just kind of tuck him under their arms and then load him into Shredder's cheese van.
An endless amount of various business vans available to Shredder.
But it's not. But it's not because he's used Cheese Van before. And I think this is now the official Shreddermobile.
How did they not make that?
I think it's funny that the lead villain in the show is driving the vehicle. Like, it strategically makes sense so that Bebop and Rocksteady can just kind of bust out the back and get to scrapping. But right. Still, don't most big bads have, like, a chauffeur? But it's just Shredder, full armor, cloak, just, like, driving a shitty panel van around New York City.
Well, I definitely wouldn't trust Bebop and Rocksteady to do it.
That's true, but you would expect them to, even though you know it's going to be a failure.
It would just be, a launch pad situation every time. It just constantly crashed the van.
Launch pad as in, like, DuckTales launch pad?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, the cross references never end. They very slowly and awkwardly abduct the unconscious neutrinos and drive off in this cheese van. The Ninja Turtles disconnect their glider from the blimp to give chase, but Donnie says there's too many thermal updrafts, and that causes them to crash. So there is actually a detriment to having those giant steam chimneys coming out the manhole covers all over New York City.
It's just one of those things where, like, they definitely would have experienced this before, but this was just, like, a plot point that the writer was like, I don't know, why are they crashing this time? Thermal updraft, sure.
That makes the most sense, though. Like, that was one of those mystification things I saw when I was a kid, and it's like, New York City is nothing but a place on TV. There's always steam coming out of manhole covers and vents and shit. And I was like, that can't be real. Yeah, it's real now that I live here. And apparently they are a huge burden to aerial vehicles.
See, I didn't know that. I was going to say, like, it's not really realistic because the turtle blimp glider is, like, solid steel, and it should just drop out of the sky whenever they release it. But that's some really great information. You should repeat that because I talked over you.
No, I mean, I'm not challenging, like, the plot progression, and I'm not going to get into a physics lecture again, considering we just talked about megahertz and quetrahertz. But yeah, like, I guess there is a sense to it. I mean, I don't know. Have you ever stood next to those? They're not exactly putting off a whole lot of pressure or any kind of ventilation like that. They're just steam. They're steam.
Yeah. Vents.
But I don't know. It's kind of neat. It's a little bit of whimsy.
So what's actually kind of interesting out of this is when I think of the steam, yes, there are vents that just output steam, like, kind of constantly. It's a visual notifier of New York City. But what I also think of is, like, if you stand over one of the vents that leads to the subway when a subway passes through, and the updraft that you get when you do that.
Yeah, same difference in my eyes.
It'd just be really interesting if, like, that's kind of a reference to that. Obviously, it's not strong enough that it would affect a glider, like, hundreds of feet in the air. But it's still kind of, like, an interesting touchstone to New York City.
I thought so. I thought that was kind of a neat little extra whimsy moment.
Yeah.
So the glider comes down, smashes into a fruit stand.
Really classic animation thing there, though. You gotta crash into fruit.
But when they land, Donnie looks friggin' shell-shocked. And not, like, in the pun way, but in the real way. Like, he just got back from Nam. Look at 7 minutes, 12 seconds.
You got me on that. I wasn't expecting.
His face is so devastating.
Yeah, everybody else is fine, and they got, like, flung off the glider into the fruit stands. Donnie's the only one that was, like, strapped and safe, and he took the worst.
He's having, like, an existential crisis right there in the pilot seat. I will say, though, this is the most disappointing Ninja Turtle moment for me. It's an absolute religion breaker because Michelangelo says that once the fruit has smashed on his face.
But on the bright side, it wouldn't make a bad pizza sauce.
Mikey is a pineapple stan, and I quit. I quit. I quit.
I mean, the dude's eaten worse things on a pizza.
But I haven't.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't recommend anybody eat what the turtles put on pizzas. Stink bugs.
it was a joke.
Penicillin? And we get our first commercial break of the episode. So far, so good. Feeling good about this one. It's got a vibe. Its pacing is pretty good.
I have an animation question for you.
Yeah, hit me.
Do you think that – I thought it was especially in this glider scene, in the fruit cart scene, and then the next thing that we're about to get up to, that the animation feels a little flat.
Like color-wise?
No, like actual dimension-wise. Like obviously I understand that it's like a 2D animated cart. Like it's obviously everything is flat, but it just like – I mean, maybe it's color. Maybe it's like – it just doesn't have the visual pop that previous episodes have.
I think that might be a detriment of them brightening up the series. We talked about this a few episodes ago, how the first season was kind of brown and beige and kind of muddy. And the second season, they really kiddified it. They really colored it up. I think that might be just kind of a byproduct of the matte painting that they use for the backgrounds and the turtles just generally being brighter to pop out against them versus contrasting against the bright background.
I buy that. It makes sense.
Just a thought. So we return from commercial break. Mikey's pacing and spazzing out in the sewer lair while his family is trying to calm him down because he is really tweaking that Kala is in danger, even though, he says, I barely think about her. And this next moment is such a magnificent character flip that I think it deserves an award. Mikey goes to meditate.
Yep.
And he goes straight up like crisscross applesauce, and then Donnie bursts in through the door on a fan-propelled motorized skateboard, a.k.a. the Playmates Cheapskate.
Well, so much for relaxing with Zen.
We got a new toy!
What's going on here?
It's the Turtles giving the old foot soldiers the boot with their latest invention, the Cheapskate.
Whoa, dude's on a roll.
And look, in the sky, it's a bird, it's a jet. No, it's the Turtle Trooper parachute.
Sorry to drop in without calling.
Bring in the knuckleheads.
Uh-oh, those attack and grab foot machines look like real trouble for the green guy.
Whoa, getting a little carried away.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
From Playmates.
I like that this actually gives an origin story, too, because Donnie calls it the Cheapskate by name because it was legitimately cheap for him to build. He says the parts were inexpensive and it all came together very easily. And I just love that they gave a reasoning to their goofy naming conventions. We cut back to the carnival. The neutrinos are asleep on three discarded mattresses on the ground. And I thought that was a very nice gesture by Shredder, Bebop, and Rocksteady rather than a cage.
Oh, yeah.
The neutrinos then divulge that the gadget that they have in their car, Shredder knows that this gadget is going to fuck up his doohickey, so he wants to stop them, but we also get the official canon name, the Starmobile.
Yeah.
To this date, in my 36 years, I have never known that that thing had a name.
Yeah, and it definitely feels like the writers of this episode were like, we need to name this thing and we are going to brand it. So everyone is going to call it the Star, the Star Cruiser at some point in the episode.
So they needed to brand it, but it never got manufactured into a toy in that version. The only version of the neutrino car besides customs we got was that purple black Foot Clan flying car that the car, like the wheels fold up like the DeLorean and Back to the Future.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just called the Foot Clan Cruiser. So the actual Starmobile is kind of a lost piece of lore in my eyes.
That's so weird that they didn't make a toy out of that.
Not officially. Yeah, there's no toys. There's no official toys.
Is it Star Cruiser or Starmobile?
They say Starmobile, but looking at Turtlepedia, it's called the Neutrino Star Cruiser.
They might not have been able to. The first thing that came up when I Googled Star Cruiser was other IPs using Star Cruiser or an actual thing called the Star Cruiser, which might be why they couldn't build it or name it that thing. Like, who knows?
There is a forum thread on the Technodrome.com that just says toys you wish they made, and the Starmobile was at the top of the list.
Huh.
I never knew it had an official name. It was always just the neutrino car.
Oh, well. We got to go cut back for 1 second because we got a great James Avery line before Shredder enters. Bebop and Rocksteady are like hovering over the neutrinos as they wake up, and Bebop says, "Just you wait until the Shredder gets here." And then James Avery from off camera goes,
"I am here, you cretin."
James Avery just continues to shine as the absolute star of this show. It's the Shredder show. It's the Shredder show. This isn't the Turtle show. It's let's watch James Avery lament over kids ruining his fun.
It's 8:34 for the line if you're interested.
Mwah. So we cut back to the Ninja Turtles and they are... by the way, the sound effect for the cheapskate skateboard is just a chainsaw idling.
It sure is.
Next time you bring up the rear.
We cut back to the Shredder. Bebop and Rocksteady cannot get the Starmobile because the city towed it. Never mind, it doesn't have wheels. And it's straight up decked out alien whip with guns mounted on it. But no, you don't need to worry. The New York City Parking Authority will never slouch. That's not a joke. They would tow the International Space Station if they could.
I mean, can you just imagine watching that thing get towed, just scraping the street?
Actually, I could. I've seen tow trucks do worse. Moving into our next scene.
Fight.
Surrender, Shredder, or face the consequences of your actions.
Don't you just love it when he talks like that?
What a great brother moment. And then the Turtles take cover as Bebop and Rocksteady open fire. I started blasting. I just love that the Neutrinos call them amphibs.
Right?
I kind of want to, like, adopt that.
I just want, like a Tolkien-esque encyclopedia of the Neutrinos language.
Ooh. Patreon goal. They then use a ray gun to activate a roller coaster, which plows in the Bebop and Rocksteady and Shredder and shatters all of their legs.
What?
No, they just actually bounce off screen. No problem. Everybody's fine.
There is a slight jump. They try and jump over it.
They fail miserably.
Oh, yeah. Well, you failed miserably.
Hey, Brodzilla. Neutrinos then hop on to the Ninja Turtles cheapskates and ride off into the sewer. Weird animation quirk. And it only really shows that there are three turtle neutrino combos on the cheapskates. No Raph.
Yep. Raph just isn't there.
Weird omission. I wouldn't call it an animation error. But
yeah, no, that was like a choice to not show him.
I guess. I don't show him bringing up the rear, I guess. I don't know. this part to me is absolutely hysterical. So Shredder, Bebop, and Rocksteady, they're at an impound lot, right? And they're eyeing the Starmobile. And then out of nowhere, the Turtles just throw a manhole cover up like a foot and a half in front of where Shredder's standing and skulk right in front of them and beeline over into the car. And there's like no exchange. Like Shredder's just there clutching his pearls. It's absolutely outstanding. Like no one reacts. They're just like, oh,
he's just standing in front of the manhole cover that they exit from.
Yep.
And just saying, like, no, it can't be. Well, who else is coming out of the sewer, you idiot?
You're going to do a damn thing about it? You're just going to cry.
You have knives on your hands. Just fucking stab them as they're coming out.
If he did one karate chop, it would be a domino effect down the manhole and they're all done. But no, he's going to cry about it and let them get away and then smash his face into a chain link fence and scream, "It's not fair."
He cups his hands to yell at Bebop and Rocksteady.
Through a metal mask!
God damn it, Shredder. You're so useless.
Shredder is the absolute best character in this show.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, we're in the sky now and flying in the Starmobile. Ninja Turtles and the Neutrinos realize that the crystal that's under the hood of the car that powers this trans-dimensional who's-a-what's-it, it's cracked, and they can't open a portal to Dimension X where all of the other crystals originate. So they're stuck.
And we get a really, I guess, like, this joke is for the parents because Raph makes an import joke. So at 11:47, right after they, was it Dax with the blue hair?
Dax, or no, Zach has the blue hair, Dask has the red hair.
Okay.
No, you're right. I take it back.
Is it? It's Dask?
Dask, Zach, and Kala.
Okay. So Dask hits the switch to, like, activate the portal or, like, turn on the thing that'll destroy the big bad weapon of the episode, and it doesn't work. And before they open up the hood to see that it's a cracked crystal, Raph says, "That's what you get for buying these intergalactic imports," which is, like, your dad is from Japan. Have some more sensitivity, Raph.
Is Raph a conservative? That would ruin my whole perspective.
He's got a red mask.
Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
Hey, red could be communist, too.
He's one of two very, very distinct extremes. So after they realize this crystal is completely fucked, Mikey offers to build one. And in that moment, the camera cuts over to Donnie with a really disgruntled face. And I swear to God, in my head, before he read his line, I thought he was just going to say, yeah, we. Which is a bit, I mean, they cover the basic point because Donnie points out that they don't have a particle accelerator to complete this. But we all know who would really do the legwork here when Mikey offers to build something technologic.
I mean, Donnie's pretty sarcastic in the moment. Oh, yeah, sure.
Donnie's best in small doses. When he shows up, he's got an absolute burner. So the Starmobile sets down in a dilapidated section of New York. They found Baxter's stomping grounds.
But it's super weird because it's not Donnie who knows where there is an actual particle accelerator for them to use. It's Leo.
It's Leo.
Why does Leo know where this is?
They never cover it.
When they get there, Kyle compliments Mikey for knowing the sewer line, but it wasn't Mikey. It was Leo.
Yeah, really weird misdirection there. I feel like they had to rewrite that scene a couple of times and just went, fuck it.
It's like, she's got a thing for Mikey. We'll excuse it.
Yeah. Anyways, they're in New Jersey, I guess. They infiltrate an abandoned lab with a very pristine cyclotron sitting active in it.
Yep.
Is this a callback? Like, at some point, I wondered, like, is this one of Baxter's old labs? They could have at any point just been like, this is one of Baxter's abandoned laboratories or something to cover this, but they don't. So we just have to believe that someone down in like Bedford has a cyclotron just sitting dormant.
There's so much weird stuff about this particular part of the episode because, folks, it looks like a war zone. There are bombed out buildings.
Yeah, it literally dilapidated doesn't do it justice. It is completely destitute. Buildings are crumbling, streets are cracked, no persons around at all.
Like, we already know that the writers don't have the, let's say, highest opinion of New York City. But this is really extreme.
It is. I don't think New York has ever looked like that in any version, but I mean, I've only been here, you know, a little over a decade. But Don says that this cyclotron is going to work if they bombard the crystal with Betron rays. Not a real thing. Did Donatello possibly mean neutron or boson? Those are both measurements of energy that, you know, well, neutron's a particle, but, you know, that would make a lot more sense than a word that has only become a word in the past couple of years when it became a brand name for a headphone.
Well, neutron probably hit too close to home for the neutrinos. So.
The Ghostbusters brag about a particle accelerator and a proton accelerator. Those are not real things. Like, I mean, a particle accelerator is, but like putting it in a backpack, the Ghostbusters gave it a fake science name based in fake science lingo. Turtles, you could do the same, guys.
Well, they did. They used it. They made up a fake word.
No comment. Kala puts a crystal on the table just to have a pair of robot arms be like, you did it wrong. Here, let me do it. I thought that was like one of the funniest moments. She's just like, here, I'm going to put it here. And the robot arm's like, no.
Let me help you with that.
They start bombarding the thing with Betron or whatever the fuck it is. And the reaction is happening too fast. And everything's about to blow up.
Oh, man. I like they preface it, too. Like, what's the worst that can happen? It's like, well, we can bombard all of us with radiation and explode. And then, like, and then 2 seconds later, it's like, oh, yeah, no, that's what's happening.
Burned to a crisp. That's exactly what's happening. And they're just going to accept it. But Krang helps Shredder locate the reaction that's going on. So he's en route again. Donnie's getting the thing under control at this point for no really good reason, just, you know, manufactured suspense.
But Brian,
what
you skipped over Raph's best line in this episode when they all think it's gonna blow up and they're like, what do we do? And Raph says,
I say we blow this joint before this joint blows us.
I don't know, I feel like sometimes my brain automatically filters out bad puns. And I mean, Raphael being my favorite turtle just constantly is victim to that.
It's not before it blows up. It's before the joint blows them. Come on, Reeves.
Did he really say it like that?
Yes, he says, "I say we blow this joint before this joint blows us."
This episode's hornier than I remember.
Come on, Michael. This is a kid's show. And then we come back from commercial break and Donnie's fixing it. It's good.
We come back from commercial break. Donnie's got shit under control because plot. Okay, so Shredder drops in on the scene, and in a heartbeat, Bebop is asking the important questions.
Why would anybody build a fancy whatever in a dump like this?
And then Shredder confirms it, that if it blows up the neighborhood, no one would care. Those are his words.
Yep.
Dark.
Turtles teaching kids about class warfare.
All right. Oh... This episode's taken a lot of weird turns, Dan. I wasn't ready for this.
I mean, come on. There's a robot that is protecting this place. This is clearly some shitty government organization that has a secret lab under what we found out later is a territory owned by cyberpunks. I cannot wait to talk about them. They are amazing.
The cyberpunks are a whole section of themselves. Yes, okay. Shredder, Bebop, and Rocksteady, they run into this dilapidated building, which apparently still has a functioning elevator, and then a functioning security bot.
It's a secret government hideout for a particle accelerator that will blow up the neighborhood.
With an artificial intelligent pod robot thing that kind of looks like one of the robots from the second episode that Donnie puts his staff through the lens. It just looks like a camera head on a robot police body.
And it's also like the weirdest animation in the episode because Bebop shoots the robot. The laser bounces off its hull, but then the hull cracks open and the robot shuts down. It's like, what just happened?
After it hit the ground, yeah. I don't know. I feel like this episode would have been a lot more interesting if Turtles just discovered, like, a robot artificial intelligence civilization growing out of an abandoned section of New York City.
Oh, this New York City in this show is the weirdest fucking place. There's artificial intelligences. There's secret underground government facilities. There's a whole like abandoned civilization underground. And the best part about it is that none of it is a plot point.
It's just world building.
It's just all stuff that just exists in the world, and they don't question it.
I mean, they're bipedal, sentient, humanized turtles. What would they have left to question?
Yes, but also, what? I'm losing it. This episode has broken me. Why does Leo know about this place?
Plot contrivance.
I want to reach out to Michael Reeves and be like, hey, why does Leo know about this government facility?
I think Reeves is right on the money. He's also right on the money with characterization because we really get like peak Shredder in the next second. He's super touchy. When Rocksteady asks him how he knows so much about this building, so meta commentary, Bebop says, "Well, Krang probably told him." Like he's mocking him for having a girlfriend, and Shredder is so pissed about that. What a great moment. What a great characterization moment.
Got him.
Bebop and Rocksteady land a savage shot and knocks all of the turtles and the neutrinos out. And then a rogue turtle comm bounces along the sidewalk and pings April, who immediately snaps to action and comes to the rescue.
Yep. Good for her.
I don't know how she deduced that.
Oh, that they were in trouble or like where to go?
Both.
So she does explain that she used the turtle comm to like geolocate where they are.
Okay.
I don't know how she knows how to do that, but I mean, I guess Donnie taught her. But there is a reason for her showing up, at least. Why she immediately thinks they're in danger, I don't know.
All the thing did was beep. Automatically, that must mean that they're in trouble. I mean, in all fairness, yeah, probably.
It's just funny, like, they call her all the time. You know, it'd be like getting a phone call from your mom and being like in trouble.
So if the turtles butt dial you, they must be close to death.
Well, yeah, I mean, they don't wear pants, so where the fuck is that phone?
I'll show that bag of brains.
Next up, we got Shredder. He's at this point, he's just operating on spite. And then Shredder takes the Ninja Turtles and also literally suggests that they should leave the neutrinos behind.
Yep.
For the rats to eat alive.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Yep.
It's not subtle.
That's all I got.
It's not an illusion. He straight up says it.
It's so funny, too, because it's like this part of the city is so messed up. And yet they don't even know, like, whose territory it is. They're surprised by it. They just think it's the rats.
Oh, but we find out shortly. April picks up the neutrinos in a Channel 6 van and reemphasizes that this is not a friendly neighborhood, which leads me to deduce that this is either Bedford or Hunts Point. Neutrinos call Shredder Tinskin, and that's my new favorite nickname. And then April and Neutrinos, who have never met before, so there's a little bit of character exchange going on here. There's some exposition that the cyberpunks, as you mentioned, run this hood. And they are just straight up Mad Max ripoffs.
Yep.
It's just like three dudes on decked out motorcycles wearing leather daddy kind of outfits rolling through an abandoned section of New York.
I think it's real funny because when you first see them, because of how, I guess, like zoomed out it is and how they were going to animate like these characters, they don't really look all that cyber. They just look like a normal biker gang kind of thing.
Yeah, there's nothing really cyber about them. I guess you could argue that they got tricked out bikes, but that doesn't mean cyber.
But like the next scene where you get more of like a close up or I guess like a side view, there's another shot of them where like the motorcycles suddenly look like much bigger and they're like connected to each other.
Hmm. Like the first mode of the Megazord in Power Rangers.
Yeah, exactly. Like the animators are like, this could be a toy, and then
nope.
Playmates is like, that's dumb.
What's dumb? Because they don't do a goddamn thing. So Shredder's having Bebop and Rocksteady load the turtles into the Mentone Neuralizer. I forget
something.
Which, by the way, looks like a portable sauna room. Mikey mistakes this as Pimento Naturalizer, as a pizza topping. And I just have a note that says second audible snort.
But they're actually in danger this time.
They are actually in danger this time. They're about to be brain drained. So April and the Neutrinos crash into an overturned bus while they're driving towards saving the turtles.
Yep, they got cornered by the cyberpunks.
And they get cornered by the cyberpunks. Why is there a trick, like a busted-ass van sprawling against the street? And I reminded myself this was Ed Koch, New York, so.
You know, I met Ed Koch once.
I'm sorry.
This is the dumbest story, but it's also kind of funny.
Oh, I want to hear it.
So, slight tangent. My senior year of high school, we had senior cut day, and instead of going to like the local park where all of our other seniors were going to like get drunk in the middle of the day or whatever, me and my friends decided to go into New York City and do a whole bunch of different stuff. So we like went and played laser tag and we went to a bunch of restaurants and we like had a generally good time. And we were walking from one place to another place. And as we exited, I think it was like the restaurant we were in or whatever. I don't remember, but wherever we exited, we turned the corner and there was Ed Koch.
Just like on the sidewalk?
Just walking.
No entourage, you know, no nothing?
Well, he had like two guys with him.
Fair. All right. Security detail. That makes sense.
Yeah. And he wasn't mayor anymore.
Oh, yeah. I guess you're right.
But he was just walking and we're like, hey, it's Ed Koch. And he just like had the biggest shit eating grin on his face because he couldn't believe that a whole bunch of 18-year-olds knew who he was. It's one of those things where we're like, hey, look who it is. And he was like, oh, my God, I'm recognized. How crazy is that? And we shook his hand and went on with our day.
Well, that's cute. With the cyberpunks, they remind me, all right, this is a bit of a dark horse take, but if anyone's ever seen the film series known as M.D. Geist, you know what I'm talking about. It's an anime series that's kind of like Universal Soldier meets Mad Max, kind of in a way.
Kind of.
And it's awful in all the best ways.
Definitely.
It's got like two people doing the voice dubs for like, I don't know, 13 characters. At least in English language version. It is a sight to behold, though. All I can think of is like the main character in MD Geist rides a motorcycle just like the cyberpunks. But April and the Neutrinos retreat down the sewer because it worked for the Turtles.
Yep.
And then the Ninja Turtles escape their capture in the potato nebulizer, whatever it's called, while Shredder, Bebop, and Rocksteady are distracted by the Starmobile, and then
fight.
Part two.
Yeah, because they capture the Turtles, could have killed them at any point before they woke up, didn't do it, tied up their arms, didn't tie up their legs.
Rookie mistake.
Gotta tie up the legs, come on.
Bebop and Rocksteady are quickly disarmed by the Turtles, and then Shredder says, capture those Turtles. And then April gets the big call out.
I don't think you'll have time, Shredder.
She's got the line of the episode. Bebop and Rocksteady recognize the cyberpunks as they roll up to the feud. And it makes the most sense that Bebop and Rocksteady would recognize immediately because they're former street gang guys, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a rival gang.
I thought that was pretty solid. Shredder doesn't know who they are, but Bebop and Rocksteady are like, oh, shit.
I just love that these, like, two mutant gang guys, they've got laser weapons, and they're like, I don't want to take on these guys. I'm out.
Who are on motorcycles and armed with only melee weapons.
And all they do is scream.
Yeah, the cyberpunks go on to prove to be a non-threat as they just show up and attack no one. And then everyone escapes. No conflict. Everybody's good.
They do not attack anybody. They do not get off their bikes. All they do is stand there and scream into the air.
Why were they even introduced?
There's a moment where Shredder and Bebop and Rocksteady have escaped, and the Turtles, Neutrinos, and April are still standing in the middle of the road, and they just, like, don't do anything to them. The punks just kind of, like, drive up and be like, nah, yeah.
At least let them fight somebody, right?
Right? Like, how scary are these guys that everyone just respects them?
They don't even do anything to demonstrate it. They don't show up and, like, smack a bat against their open palm or, like, tighten a chain between their hands or anything like that. They just roll up.
And, like, I don't remember these guys at all. So I'm pretty sure this is the only episode they show up in.
It'd be incredible if they had a redemption arc and they came back and actually proved to be a threat. But yeah, these are a joke. Why did this even happen?
Like, everyone is so afraid of them. They
it lends nothing.
Back. They're obviously like the biggest bands in New York City.
Besides the Purple Dragons, apparently. What a weird. Yeah, I don't know why they did that. Literally, it just feels like they went, oh, you know what's popular right now? Mad Max.
Yeah, like, it's such a weird side story to, like, have.
It's not a side story. There's no story.
Just have this part of New York City that is awful.
A bunch of posers on bikes roll up and say, we're a gang. And everyone goes, okay.
Yep. This is your territory. Nobody messes with the cyberpunks. And the episode ends.
Yeah, after the cyberpunks depart, or they depart from the cyberpunks who do fucking nothing. Mikey is bummed that Cal is gone, but Raph reminds him that he's got another helping of pizza without her around, which, you're the married one. Isn't that basically how it works? Credits.
It's such a random thing. He, like, gives the Neutrino some pizza. They leave. But now you get more pizza. Who needs love when you get more pizza, apparently?
There's not even a return to the lair resolution pun with Splinter in this one. They just transition out.
Mikey's over Kala because he got pizza. It's a simple things.
So we've reached the end of the episode. What's your rating on this one? I personally really enjoyed this one again. I think I'm just attracted to the Neutrinos in a non-sexual way. I think they're great supporting characters. I think they're funny. I think they're very well written and established, and they very much find their place in a scene.
Yeah, they are super fun characters. It's no wonder that their popularity has kind of, like, stuck around so long. It's no wonder that like the episodes that have the neutrinos in them were some of the ones that got picked out for some of the like special VHS editions that got done at like Burger King or Pizza Hut or something like that. They're just really solid characters, and they bring a lot of that like I would say like they're more teenagers than the Turtles are.
That's a good takeaway from it. I just think they're extremely quotable. They're extremely fun. Honestly, they could have supported their own animated series on their own.
Mm. Man, what would that have been like? That would have been crazy.
Like boomer kids rolling around in hot rods, like American Graffiti style. I think that would actually be a pretty good show.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I really like this one. There's a chaotic energy to this episode that I think it's kind of different than any of the other episodes that came before it. Like, obviously, it's still Turtles, but it's got a different style to it that made it a lot of fun. It's super fast paced. It's ridiculous. The writing is so wild. like some of it isn't even like that. It's not even, you know, it's not like Emmy winning or anything like that. It's just weird. And I think the Turtles could be the most fun when they're just like, yeah, you know what? We're going to be really weird.
I've been saying that since the absolute first day of this podcast. Like,
absolutely.
The Turtles exist to fucking get weird.
But this one is so weird.
It's exceptionally weird. It's exceptionally good, though. Like, you said chaotic energy, and I think that kind of sums it up best. It is just kind of a bonkers, balls to the wall, nonstop action kind of episode.
It does what like the best episodes do, where Shredder and his goons are dangerous, are threatening. They do succeed at different points. So it's not like the whole episode is a joke. Like, there's the moment of danger when they find the particle accelerator and they're all going to get blown up. And then, oh, the neutrinos got captured before and now the turtles got captured. Like, there are actual stakes to the episode which grab your attention and pull you forward through it. It's not just non sequiturs and being weird. Like, yeah, the whole cyberpunk is a pretty huge like non sequitur. Like, they're hilarious. To me, they're like the funniest part of the episode. But there's all of like the normal tenets of a good Ninja Turtles episode built into this as well, which makes the weird parts stand out more and really complement it.
Yeah, I can't think of a good follow up.
Cowabunga.
I was trying to rebut. So yeah, this is definitely a cowabunga for me, cowabunga for you. We haven't really touched on the moral, but I'm gonna kind of bundle that together in the affirmation this week. We're gonna, as always, deliver you your weekly pizza affirmation, and Alfred Tennyson once said, "It's better to have scarfed and lost than to never have scarfed at all." Mikey, Kala's waiting for you, and we're all praying for you.
We got your back.
Next week on Deuteronomy.
But what if we talk to them? You know, reason with them.
Trust me, my innocent little frog. Would this face lie? Now get me that chemical!
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next week on Deuteronomy, the Ninja Turtles retread.
Deuteronomy is produced by Brian Van Gelder and me, Dan Spitaleri. Brian edits and mixes the show and also designed our show art. Our theme music is composed by Mario Cello Nunez. You can hear more of his music on Spotify, which we've linked to in the show notes. Find us on Twitter at Deuteronomy_TMNT and send email to deuteronomy.tmnt@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Cowabunga! Cowabunga!